them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We a number one spot. We a number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Hey, yo. Hope you had a great weekend. One more time for the great time. Hey. We welcome you in here to the Tuesday. It's not Monday. It's Tuesday.
Tuesday. We already damn near through the week. Well, you said this is the worst day of the week.
Yeah, no, I just said it. Like, who cares? No one cares about Tuesdays.
It feels a little disrespectful to Tuesday.
That's what I always thought.
Tuesday's not. We've been over this before.
Tuesday's like the good friend, like just the calming presence because Monday kind of pissed you off. Tuesday's here. What's up, Tuesday?
Tuesday is like a nobody.
Damn.
Monday, like for the people, yo, I'm going to attack this week. Yo, Monday. Yo, we're going to start this week off right. Like, that's what you do on Monday. On Wednesday, it's like, yo, we at that midway point, you know, hump day. Thursdays for people like my partner across. Well, the weekend is here.
Well, pretty much.
Little Fridays, we turn it up, and then Friday, everybody's already checked out. Mm-hmm. What's Tuesday?
Tuesday, like Jesse said, is the good friend.
Yes.
Monday, nobody hyped up about Monday.
You get into the.
Oh, no. Nah. Okay. When you gonna start your diet?
Monday.
That's right.
Not excited about it.
Yeah, look at it's horrible. It's like Monday,
but it has a purpose. Monday has a purpose.
Monday is so bad, people can't even enjoy Sunday.
Well, that's true sometimes.
You just got to maximize your days better, brother.
There ain't no wrong with my days. My days are good.
You got to pick it up on Tuesday, I guess. And you get the vibes out.
Tuesday. Look, Tuesday's like the one day a week where people like work. That's the day where you actually get stuff done.
Shout out to Tuesday, Taco Tuesday, even though it could be Taco Thursday.
I don't understand
but they don't say
why it's
that
not
either.
Taco Thursday. Yeah. Thursday's better.
Taco Tuesday sounds cooler, I think.
It's a good call. I never heard it.
You can call it whatever you want to. Your boy's on a 3-day work week.
Hey.
I'm already mentally checked out. Casey, you got this on your own.
Let's go. Let's go.
I'm checked. I'm ready. I'm ready for Vegas, man.
It's gonna be a good time.
The GNX tour.
It's gonna be a real good time.
I ain't talking to nobody who's going out on Thursday. Don't text me, don't call me, don't DM me, don't tag me. I don't want to see any of your concert videos until I get to see it myself.
Shout out to the GNX tour too, man.
Oracle
big time weekend. Oracle Park gonna be crazy.
Oh my God, SoFi was crazy.
Yeah, big time weekend.
SoFi was crazy. Did you see Kamara's post?
I did.
Man, sometimes I dream.
Down there with DJ Head.
He was there for 3 days?
Kendrick was there for Friday. I think he was there
he
for
was there
four shows.
Yeah, he was there Thursday.
Point is, it seemed like just a weekend event over there from all the videos and stuff.
Yeah, I think they originally started with three. Mm-hmm. Then he added a fourth. I think they head to Arizona.
That sounds right.
And then, maybe not. Maybe they already hit Arizona. Maybe Oracle is what's next. And then they're over to Vegas.
Oracle might
be
next. I think Kyle Madsen might be hitting that one.
Yeah, that's Thursday.
He's rich.
So, yeah. Well, he's got a friend that helped him who, I don't know if they work for the Giants or they work for the park.
Gotcha.
But he didn't say, hey, D, you need help. Like, nah. He was just like, no, I got my tickets. Cool. Oh man!
Magic's like, yeah, Complex hooked me up.
I know Complex didn't hook him up because Complex is going with me. Complex is flying to Vegas for the tour too. Nobody could get into that damn San Francisco
that
show.
Was a tough ticket. Tough ticket.
Man, I was going through Kamara's stories this morning. Like, do you know I went because I know where Kamara gets his. His clothes from. I saw one of Kamara. I saw one of Kamara's stories. That's a damn good suit. Went straight to the website. Within 5 minutes, bought it.
Ooh, boy, rich like Kamara.
I was like, that's cold. He had, it was clearly a relaxed fit, He had the deep V-neck underneath, double-breasted. I was like, I'm doing that. Mm. I did it in a different color. I was like, I'm doing that.
See, I'm gonna,
that's the one. That's the one I'm going to rock on Friday with no shirt underneath.
I'm going to see if I
can. I'm really self-conscious about this blazer with no shirt underneath thing.
You shouldn't be.
No, cool. I shouldn't be.
Can't be worse than Richard Jefferson, so.
Oh, I dress better than it. I dress better than Richard Jefferson. Oh, is the 24 hours already up?
Yeah, I missed it.
I hit the group text and have him send it. It was cold. Like his whole LA, you know, get up was cold.
Yeah.
But I feel like I got all the days taken care of, but I've been obsessing about that Friday night.
Mm. Mm.
I gotta make it pop.
There you go, man.
I gotta look like an NFL draft pick. Or an NBA. Was it Devin Carter?
I was about to say you could look like Devin Carter.
Devin Carter did go.
How's your shoulder feel?
My shoulder's good. My shoulder's jacked up. I'm just not going to tell ESPN.
Or everybody knows it is and they'll still matter. Draft you.
Yeah.
That's why you fall down the draft, because everyone knows the shoulder's messed up and Monty will just take you anyway.
Well, James Hamm knew.
We'll just go to the concert in 6 to 8 months.
Concert's gonna start out really slow though. Concert's actually gonna suck when it starts.
Kendrick Lamar's already gonna be traded by the time the concert starts.
Oh, that's a good point. That's, you know what, all right Devin, that's the look I'm going for right there.
Same type of pants.
Nah, it's double breasted. He's got it pulled all the way over. It's not like it's a deep V, but it's not super like that one I have right now. Like I'm flirting with J-Lo Versace dress look. Like it's because it's not double breasted, so it comes down to like here.
Yeah, yeah.
This Devin Carter draft night look is perfect.
Mm.
It ain't gonna be baby blue, but
once
like,
again,
it's
same
perfect.
Same pants.
Bell
bottom ish.
No, these ain't big. No, these ain't ride no bell bottom.
Well, though, ish, man. Ish. They're just wide legs, long.
Devin?
Yeah, it wasn't slim. They were slim.
They were slim. I'm looking at him
maybe
right now.
Maybe I forgot. Maybe I forgot.
I'm looking at him right now. He's good. No, this is. In fact, this is Devin Carter's best look ever.
Wow, that is.
Draft
that
night was
like
the man's
shot.
Best look ever.
That seems like a shot.
I need my man's sophomore year in the league to. I need him to take it up a notch.
He dressed fine. He dressed fine. He.
His barometer shouldn't be fine though. His barometer should be fire. He should dress fire. He does not dress fire. You know, he does not dress fire.
He dress.
No, he doesn't.
I like the way Devin Carter dresses.
He dresses okay at times and terrible at others.
He just started off on the wrong foot with you because he started off with a sweatsuit on opening night.
He did wear a sweatsuit. Now.
Shut up.
I love a sweatsuit. Bro, come on, man. Come on, man.
Devin Carter.
Of course, he might have been in a sling, too.
That's true.
I just thought of him. He might have been in a sling.
Devin Carter, possible league fits in year two?
Give me that. All NBA? Give me that.
Okay.
Give me that. Like, you walking in next to Malik Monk, man, you got to be fly.
Oh, that's the MVP.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's the MVP.
Like,
right
that's
there.
Your competition.
Yeah.
You walk in, you try to take down Malik every day.
Mm, it's going to be tough. But you got to strive for it.
He had great glasses on draft night, too.
Strive for it.
Great glasses on.
He was fitted draft night.
Yeah, he looked good. He looked good. That was peak of his rookie season right there.
Well, that and the playing game when he gave the only good moment of the game.
That's true. Ran from one end to the court to the other.
I was like, wait, what was it? Oh, I remember now.
The only time we were really excited.
It was literally the end of the game.
I ran to the other side of the court. Oh, they're cooking. Look how fire it looks right now.
Yeah. Devin walked. I was like, all right, boy. I think we was up there. All right, Rook. No.
I said, everybody else let him down.
Little did we know, that was the end.
The rest of the team let him down.
We up two.
Yeah.
One?
It was like the first quarter, I think.
Oh, it was definitely first quarter.
I was hyped. I was like, okay.
Everybody in that arena got hyped.
That was one of them moments where I was like, come on, man, get this. I was like fumbling for my phone. It's like, wow, everybody got it. The moment has passed. And now it's like, well, that would have been embarrassing to post.
It was so bad after that.
I'm telling you, everybody let him down. He did his job. Everybody else let him down, I guess, except for DeRozan.
Who knew?
He played that game. think DeRozan had like 32 or something. He's the only one that wanted to shoot and dribble the basketball.
That game was so bad.
That was
like,
awful.
Why are we so hell bent on trading DeMar again?
Oh, don't get me started. Yeah,
fit.
Yeah, don't get me. We're gonna talk about that because now they talk about DeMar. Now they don't want who they potentially could trade him for.
Oh, you can't do that.
Nah,
you can't do that. Like, if you don't want to, if Scott Perry goes out and gets a bag of peanuts, your ass better be happy with it.
They wanted DeMar just gone.
Like
they weren't even worried about what you just get him off my team. How many times we see that? Over
y'all wanted that man on the bench. You wanted him traded. Now you mad? I didn't even see that. I didn't even see people reacting.
Oh, yeah. When Matt did his. The trade proposals. There was so much nope to everything. All right, bro.
Okay.
All right, man. And then they have, like I said, we'll talk about.
I love when we do that. That's one of my favorite. That's one of my favorite fan tendencies. We hate this player. We don't want him. Well, what about this? No. Okay. What do you want? Well, why can't we get involved in the Giannis trade? The money works. Trade machine says it works. DeMar and Devin for Giannis. Why not?
Just right there for him.
Stupid Bill Simmons line. Who says no? Who the trade machine says it works.
Yeah. So, like I said, we'll talk about it a little later. But, yeah, there was some stuff stirring over the weekend. And people, no. Ugh, no way. Why? Why would we do that? All right, man.
Yeah, I'm anxious to talk about that. I'm anxious to talk about that. Who can Oklahoma City trade for to get a personality?
Nobody.
No. They really are San Antonio 2.0.
They are. They are San
Lisa
Antonio.
Lisa Salters literally had to look at J-Dub yesterday and say, is that it?
He gave
a one-word answer in a post-game press conference in the Eastern Conference Finals, or in a post-game interview at the Eastern Conference Finals. And the most pro of pros looked at that man like, really?
They don't know how to speak by themselves. They don't know how to be charismatic by themselves. They do that little stupid gimmick after every game, and they think that's going to get them through. Oh, no, that's not cute no more, man. Get that out of here.
She literally said, okay, I'm going to go to Shea. And Shea at least, like, talked, but couldn't have possibly have been more boring.
Casey, do you remember that time Torian Prince, I think it was, for Baylor did that rebounding post game thing where he's like, you grab a rebound like this or whatever?
No,
you don't remember that? Well, Jalen Williams copied that like a couple of weeks ago or whatever, did like the same thing. I don't know if he's just doing weird stuff post game now or just trying to do something, but he's been a little weird post game.
All right, man, these guys, like I said, great basketball team, possibly the NBA champions, and set up for greatness for years to come. Shout out to them. They have nothing to apologize for. Ain't nobody tuning in to watch OKC. And I thought yesterday's game was fantastic. I thought SGA was great. I thought Chet was great. Big time shots from Jalen Wood. Like, when they're like Jokic, or they are like the Spurs, the idea of having to watch them puts people to sleep. Actually watching them play is something different.
Yeah, they aren't a boring basketball team to watch. They're a boring basketball team in every other sense.
To think about.
Yeah.
that's what it is. When you think about, gosh, boring. Yawn.
That yawn is tough.
Yeah, it's
Casey
pretty
hit
tough.
Me with a yawn. I'd feel pretty bad about myself.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. We're just getting started. We're going to continue to crap on the best team in basketball as well. We'll talk about what the Knicks did.
Hey. Yep. Knicks in six.
Not a fan, though. But okay. We'll come back. There's a lot to talk about. And then we'll dive into the King stuff as well. It's Trista Tuesdays. Jason Jones here today as well. Steve Lillman Casey on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
I was kind of pissed off about that. John Posey asked. Casey, was recent Tahoe or Reno this weekend? No, he wasn't. He had all-star baseball tournaments, which ended up not even being tournaments. It ended up being a one-day Saturday situation, which means we could have went out to Reno on Sunday, but we thought we were going to be there all weekend, and we didn't even, like, they needed the paperwork and stuff like that. We're like, we're out all weekend. Come to find out, they had to shorten the damn baseball tournament to a one day. They didn't play till 7 o'clock on Sunday night. We could have went out to Reno. Reno looked like it was popping, man. Damn. I love them basketball tournaments. I love those basketball tournaments. Jam On, it looked like it was popping this weekend. I'm mad about that.
Wait, what happened?
Reese's basketball team, shout out to the Dream Chasers. Big ups to them. They went to this big Memorial Day tournament that goes down in Reno.
Okay.
Jam On it tournament. And they have, I don't know how many teams, but they have 90 courts in this Reno Convention Center.
Okay.
And they had the tournament going on. And we were supposed to go, but then Reese's all-star team, shout out LYB, Laguna Youth Baseball, Gray, shout out LYB Gray, 12U. They had a tournament getting ready for the state tournament. And originally it was supposed to be Saturday and Sunday and maybe even Monday. Well, by Thursday, we found out a bunch of teams had dropped out. So it was just going to be this round robin on Saturday.
Okay.
Because we already thought we were going to be doing baseball all weekend, they need like birth certificates and report cards and stuff like that for their basketball tournament to make sure everybody's certified, verified, head count, all this other stuff. Well, we were like, we're out. You know, we're not going to be there. We got baseball. Well, in actuality, we end up only having a game on Saturday for baseball. Oh, we could have left Saturday and been in Reno Saturday night.
I see.
Played Sunday, played Monday, all this other stuff. And, yeah, it's a little bit me, too. I should have had that as a backup. That's bad job by me. Should have had a backup. You
tell me when he plays at Hardwood. I didn't realize how close I lived to Hardwood Palace. Like it's like 5 minutes away.
Yeah.
It's by the – I had to take the car in this weekend. And
okay.
There were, like, people just flying into this. I was like, what is that? And never realized because I had never gone – I haven't gone there since having this car.
Uh-huh.
And I guess I haven't gone there since living in Rockland. Mm. And it's really off in a weird place.
It is.
I was like, what is that? Oh, that's Hardwood Palace.
Hardwood Palace, man. That's where it's at. That's where it goes down.
Can't see it from your backyard.
And that part.
Well, it can. He's being modest. Let him be modest. Let him be modest.
Hey, that face you just made was hilarious.
That parking lot was packed, too. I don't know what was. I almost went in there just to watch.
Like, man, it.
That
I'm
parking
sure,
lot was jumping.
I'm sure it was popping. But it's almost, ironically, this is how I feel about Reno, the city. We've talked about this before. When you're in Reno, you get frustrated because it just reminds you that you're not in Las Vegas, right? Hardwood Palace was probably like that for basketball tournaments this year. You're at the Hardwood Palace, and shout out to them. Shout out to them. But everybody was in Reno this week. Everybody was in Reno. So it was like, if I was at Hardwood Palace, I'd been mad because it just reminds me that I'm not in Reno.
So can I, like, that feels so inappropriate to me.
What's that?
That there is a basketball tournament, like Reese is 11?
12.
12.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, birthdays, they happen.
Mm-hmm.
So he stopped talking to me when he was 11 or 10. I can't remember which what year it was. But that, like, this is the tournament. This the one. Mm-hmm. This one's young. And they're 11, 12.
It'd be popping.
That is crazy.
It'd be popping.
So there's people like from all over the state.
This is pretty much like Northern California, Bay Area, maybe some, you know, Reno, a little Nevada. I think, because I think the L.A. people stay in L.A. in Memorial Day weekend because they got enough tournaments down there, or enough teams down there. So I don't think it's the whole state. But Reno, like I said, I don't know what the number of teams they have. They have age groups from, I would say, second grade to 16U, and just basketball games all day for 3 days, from like 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. for 3 days. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. I like all those little trips, but I like where you can go and everything's
youth
in one
athletics
place.
Athletics is just so much, man.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
And then, like, Reese plays both. Like, he plays two right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. But I enjoy, I like I said, I like those trips when you go away. Vegas is dope too. Vegas. Oh, I knew a couple of guys that were referees, and I went to the Vegas tournament one time, and I said, "Oh man, hey bro, what's up, man? How you doing?" Sean Grady, you know, the comedian.
Yeah,
he was out there. He was reffing with one of the other homeboys. "Oh, man, what's up? What you doing out here or whatever?" It's like, man, reffing, getting everything, you know, getting a couple dollars. I was like, "What, you here for this tournament?" He's like, "We've been here for 4 weeks.
Oh, my God.
Going to be here for another 2 weeks." And from, like, mid-June to the end of July, there is these massive tournaments every weekend in Las Vegas. And they just like,
man,
yeah, we get an Airbnb. We stay here for 4 to 6 weeks. Yeah, wow. Racks, just reffing.
Wow.
Racks. I'm like, damn. That's how the basketball tournaments, that's how big they are in the summer there, how frequent they are in the summer at least.
All right. Well, Minnesota might want to get back to basketball.
They'll be there soon.
Well,
Julius Randle will be at his kids' tournaments.
Man, you know, you can bring Uncle Rudy with him because,
Uncle Rudy.
Man, they was terrible yesterday. Like, they made you think for a minute. They made you think for a quick minute with the way that they won game three. And I guess collectively, they weren't awful in game four. But, yeah, there's some numbers there that you can't have.
Yeah, they got saved by the bench.
Pretty much.
Saved by the bench. New sitcom coming to NBC.
Peacock,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, soon. And that's what they were last night because Ant was bad.
Yeah.
I'm going to say he's bad. Randle was awful.
Yeah.
And I think Finch was just as awful as Randle. He was terrible.
Let's start with Coach Chris Finch. Why was he just as awful as Julius? Because I did have a thought on Julius, but that was a plot twist that I'm anxious to hear.
Number one, Julius Randle, who some of the onus is on him for sure, but Julius Randle having 7 field goal attempts and virtually not playing in the fourth quarter, I got to put a little bit of that on Chris Finch. And I'll tell you why, because it got to the point where Rudy was out there and Rudy wasn't protecting the basket and he couldn't get a rebound. So why is he out there? And then the other thing is they started guarding Rudy with Caruso with the sole purpose of when Ant tries this pick and roll with Rudy, we'll just switch that and we'll go from Dort to Caruso and you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to guard Rudy. You don't have to guard him. So, yeah, we'll put Caruso on him. They're going to run that pick and roll. We don't have to worry about no mismatch. We don't have to worry about him getting Caruso on the block and doing anything. So at that point, if he's not protecting the rim, if he's not able to get a defensive rebound, and now he's a liability on the offensive end, why is he in the game? Why is he in the game? And you've got Randle there on the bench where my thought process, even though he wasn't having a good game, is – we're not winning this game with Julius Randle having 5 points and 7 field goal attempts. We're not winning the game, and they didn't. Like, we had to have his production, even though Alexander Walker and DiVincenzo both play really good games to kind of offset that. We can't win this game with Randle with the numbers that he has. And this is the last point from Finch, and this goes into coaching as well, just in general. I think people get – these coaches nowadays, they get so enamored with – their system and the flow of the offense and all this other stuff. Sometimes ask Julius Randle, where do you want the basketball? Where do you want it? Do you want it on the wing? Do you want it on the elbow 15 feet away? Do you want it on the block? Tell me where you want it. We will run a set to get you the basketball there. Go to work. See if you can get going. But it's all, get in the offense and we need the screen and roll. And hey, Randle, get to the elbow. I'm giving you the ball. We'll have some offside action going on or whatever. Go to work. Use your jab step to either create some separation to shoot a jump shot or go by him, get to the bucket. But you got to start putting the basketball up and getting these FGAs. And I can't say Finch didn't do that. Maybe he did. But Yeah, man, that's not good enough.
Did you know FGA is the cousin of SGA?
Well, I thought Nikhil Alexander Walker was.
It's their other cousin. They don't talk about that one.
That's the one that didn't make the league.
Yeah. Does Oklahoma City get any credit for that, though? That's where I was going with Julius. It felt like they've been active in trying, because Julius was one of the hottest players, I mean, in the playoffs. Like, he was up there with Ty and Brunson and those guys. Like, he was having a string of 26, 27-point games. Like, does Oklahoma City get any credit for, like, he put the ball on the ground and they swarmed. Like, the second it was the old Buddy Hield thing. Mm-hmm. The second the ball touched the ground in Julius's possession, they killed him.
They're playing great defense. They're the best defensive team left in the playoffs. And
I think they're probably the best, period.
Yeah, period, regardless. No. The field goal attempts? Absolutely not. I should be able to get you a field goal attempt. You talk about, like, they're swarming and you put the ball down on the ground.
Quality or otherwise.
Yeah, I should be able to get you at the elbow. Julius Randle, get you at the elbow. You ain't even got to put it on the deck. Uh-huh. Jab, jump shot. I can get you. That goes on Randle, too. You can get a shot off. Mm-hmm. Now, whether it's a high-quality shot, whether you come away with, like, 5 points and all this other stuff on 3 of 15 from the field, defense be locked down. But the fact that you just can't even get a shot up, but you're Julius Randle.
I don't think Julius can survive taking trash, though. I don't think he's that kind of scorer.
He might not be, but
you'd rather have him take the shot.
Yeah, you just not even shooting. That's on you and Finch. No disrespect to OKC. I'm not trying to take away because they're doing a great job. But the fact that, like, when Ant only took two shot in the first quarter, come on, man. Yeah, Anthony Edwards, bro.
Anthony Edwards has had multiple stretches in this conference finals where you look at him sideways. Mm-hmm. Like, man, what are you doing? You can't be one of the best players in the game today and do that. You sure as hell can't do it repeatedly.
Right.
You can't do it repeatedly at this stage of the season. Hmm. You look passive. Passive and disinterested. Mm-hmm. And he's at time. And I've tried to, because that's a tough proclamation to say someone looks passive in a conference finals game. So I try to watch it through the eyes of what Oklahoma City's doing. I tried to watch there's nothing wrong with it. But I tried to watch the Legler simulcast joint.
I actually really like that.
See, I don't. And it's not because I think Legs is one of the best at this that there is. But I realized, I think it was yesterday, I realized I don't like watching a live game like that. Mm. If I watched the Mike Breen broadcast and then went back and watched it later, I think I would appreciate it more. Mm. I didn't come across it. I knew it was there. I wound up watching it yesterday on accident.
Yeah, the same thing. That's the first option.
Yeah, like I just clicked on it.
I didn't even know.
And I was like, oh, I think, and I was watching, like, oh, they're doing a breakdown. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, this is a really long breakdown. Mm-hmm. I realized, oh, I'm on two. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm like watching it like, I don't like this. I don't like this right now. Like, this isn't what I need right now. Mm. So I went to, you know, Breen and that crew over there. But I was trying to, like, it was in the first half when Ant was passive, when Ant was whatever he was yesterday. And I was trying to, like, hear, like, what his their thoughts were on this, and I just thought, I don't want this. I don't want this right now. Yeah. I'd love to go back and watch this later, but I don't want this as the game is live. I need to hear the game differently live.
NBA TV used to, and I hope they still do. I think just the finals games, they have that coach's corner, after, like you said, a day or two after the game happened. And they'll rewatch the game with Sam Mitchell and, you know, Mike Fratello or something like that. And they're essentially doing that broadcast like you wish they had done a couple days later and breaking down the things they see as the coaches. But I, you know, I liked it. It's really all it really is, because Ryan Rucco's there too. They got a play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
It's just what I think it does is it allows them more time to talk about the strategy, whereas like on the Breen broadcast, you got the replay real quick, and now we got to move on.
Yeah, like and it's a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
But what I found, at least in the and this isn't fair to anybody, it's maybe like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like because this is where Tim Lager's really good, but you can't stop the game.
Mm-hmm.
So he's talking about something that happened on a possession.
Right.
When the next possession is happening,
right.
And it's not on the screen, and you're trying to process what you're seeing visually, mm-hmm. and what you're hearing audibly, and they don't match. And you're, okay, wait a minute. Okay, yeah, he's talking about the play where Andy did it. Well, no, what's happening here? And then it just becomes where's Richard Jefferson? Which is a sentence I never thought I'd utter.
Yeah, but I like the shoulder programming. Like put the house party broadcast on there, and I put check out, see what's going on. I always shout out what was his name in house party? Martin Lawrence.
Well, yes, the DJ.
Yeah.
Oh, what was his name? Blau.
I don't know why I want to say Boogaloo was above the rim.
I don't know why they gave that boy that African name. No one ain't from Cleveland. Shout out Io,
man. Io, you know, I was looking smooth on Friday, man. I seen him, man.
Io pulled up on Saturday.
Showing all the Achilles out there.
He was outside.
Starting
to dress like his dad. It's funny.
But they...
He's going to start wearing socks with them shoes that he had on.
That's
right. Watch.
Okay.
Just say right. His dad is notorious for that. Just watch.
I'll be like, yo, Io, we got to chill, bro. Let the Achilles show, man. Let us show. We don't need the socks. what I like about those type of broadcasts is just being able to take you inside the mind of a coach or a player a little bit, and you got a little more time to break it down, as opposed to Richard and Doris and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and I don't want to take anything away from OKC. I think they're phenomenal on defense, their schemes, their ability, the versatility that they have on defense is top notch. But I've got to look at the player first and the coach second when you're just not getting a shot up.
Yeah.
Like, you can get a shot up, and Ant and Randall, that was awful, like, from them yesterday. That was awful.
Yeah, and the tone was set for it pretty early. One shot for Ant in the first quarter.
Come on.
Two shots for Julius Randle in the first quarter. Two shots for Julius Randle in the second quarter. One shot for Anthony Edwards in the first quarter for a grand total of 1 of 2 in the first half.
That's terrible. I think
for your best player.
On that broadcast, I think on the Legler broadcast, I think that's where I heard it, where they said Terrence Shannon Jr. had as many field goal attempts as those guys combined.
Yeah.
Come on, man. That can't happen. And this is where, you know, we'll talk about coaching and all this other stuff, because coaching has to matter here, because it matters when things go good or bad. Like, we got to have it both ways. And I'll say in this aspect, even though we don't know, maybe Finch told them, and they weren't doing it. That mm-hmm. could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, give either one of those guys on the elbow or on the extended wing 15 to 17 feet away. Have some action on the other side to keep help from being able to help, and let them get a shot up. Be like, if you don't take a shot,
is that up to Chris Finch or Julius Randle?
Both. I go Randle first.
Okay.
And I go maybe the point guard, which is another problem. They don't really have a point guard. So they don't have an organizer. Mike Conley, but he's not playing all the time.
Yeah.
They're one of the reasons why Anthony Edwards and they're able to be so effective on Ant is because he got to dribble the ball up all
the
time.
Well, 19 minutes for your starting point guard is tough. And then.
So somebody, I think it was Tony Jones, said it perfectly after game 2.
Ryder?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said, how did he phrase it? He said, the Timberwolves' problem is they aren't good enough on defense when Mike Conley is out there, but they're not good enough on offense when he's not on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tough conundrum to have. So, yeah, somebody has to say, whether it's Ant himself, Randall himself, Finch, Conley, talking to those guys from the bench or whatever, somebody's going to say, get over there. First of all, where do you want the ball? Because you have to shoot. Where do you want it? Get it. Take the shot, please. I'll live with whatever results there are, but you have to start taking these shots because we can't win with that production and that lack of aggression from both Ant and Julius Randle. And it might not have mattered anyway because OKC was great in the fourth quarter last night. That fourth quarter was really, really good as far as shot making. You know, Chet Holmgren hit some big shots. J-Dub hit some big shots. SGA obviously hit some big-time shots. The shot making in the last 5 minutes or so was top-notch from both teams. It was a great finish, great game. It's like we talked about. The thought of OKC is boring. And then you watch them, and they play some good basketball. They play some great basketball and have some great moments.
40 for Shea yesterday. Mm. Their off-season acquisitions have really worked out well for them. Alex Caruso has just fit in perfectly. Really, I think sometimes we have to start looking at acquisitions as being this time of year acquisitions.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, no, it's good. This is a 68-win basketball team. It's obviously a very, very good basketball team. But then you get to the playoffs where you have teams that you're playing game to game, making adjustments. You have this big grand chess match. And OKC got more chess pieces than you do. Yeah. And that's what those acquisitions of Hardenstein and Alex Caruso look like right now.
And I was critical of those acquisitions. I wasn't sure what they would look like in the postseason. I know it would help them a lot during the regular season, but what it would look like during the postseason. And in the middle of that Denver series, I called it out after the Game 3 loss. I said, this was my concern. Nice pickups for the regular season, but when you get into the postseason and these guys are left open and all this other stuff, is it going to be the same issue that they had last postseason? They've gotten past that. Caruso's been fantastic. Hardenstein has been fantastic as well. Then you've got guys like Wallace, who's been, man, Wallace has been dynamic as a backup. I looked at him a couple of games ago during that Denver series. I'm like, man, he'd be really good on the Kings. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe he's a guy that is starting caliber, but he's never going to start because of what they have in the backcourt already in OKC, and maybe you could kind of poach him. Nah, they'd be crazy to let him go. Keep him as long as you can. He's really, really good, and he's stepped up and done some good stuff as well. So
we'll come back. I want to make sure we talk about your New York Knicks.
Go New York, go New York, go.
The Sacramento Kings name was out there this weekend.
Mm.
Name was in these streets. We'll talk about that as well. Phone lines are open for you. Elk Grove Kid Talk Line 916-909-1320. Stealing with KC on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Yo, we had I didn't even like this until like this show started. We had concerts in the park on Friday, and it was
wow.
Like Cesar Chavez Plaza was packed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was jumping. Great time hosting. We had so much fun with Nico and DJ Oasis. Saturday, I couldn't talk.
Oh.
My voice was shot. And it was shot like my throat hurt.
Okay.
Where I found myself like I was talking like really, really low. Because when I talked with too much emphasis, like it hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that's not gone.
Oh, no.
We got like 15 minutes into this show, and I'm like, hey. I was like, oh, man, for real? Like, yeah, it was a little rough on your boy.
I'm sure it has happened to you, but I'll ask anyway. Have you ever, like, really lost your voice?
Yeah, almost lost it what, like a year and a half ago?
Dan was going to the doctor that one time. He's like, I think this is it, boys, right?
Yeah, like I was like, I think my voice had like deteriorated over the stretch of like a week. Mm. And I thought I was going to have to get steroid shots into my throat because I couldn't talk normally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the old tribal chief was freaking out. And yeah, like that's the closest I've ever come. Like that's the only time like I've like lost it like that. But that was the only time I've ever been scared. Like, I think something's wrong. Like, this, Jesse, that's a shoot. I was like, this might be it.
I remember.
This might be
it. I do remember that, too, by the way. I hear people say they lost their voice. That only happened to me one time in life. Mm. And I don't know why it happened. Mm. But I was at my mom's house on a Friday night. We were playing spades. And there was people over there. We had a little game night or whatever. And it just, after a while, my voice was just gone to the point where I was like, I was talking like this. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do anything else. I was like, what the hell? The only reason I really remember that is because I was like, it's Friday. I got work on Monday. This is crazy. How am I going to talk? And I tried not to talk mm-hmm. all through Niners, Packers, Lambeau Field divisional playoffs. And then I somehow got the voice back when they blocked that punt and Hufanga picked it up and scored the touchdown. And that was crazy. And Jazz was like, don't talk. Like, you've got to worry about Monday. I was like, I can't not talk. They just tied it up at 10. We in Lambeau. This is crazy. And that was the one time where the voice was like, for real gone. I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna talk.
Shout out Wheezy 80 in the chatty house. I lost my voice my first day of college. It was so embarrassing when the professor was calling out names and people said here, but I wasn't able to say anything. That's tough. Shout out Wheezy. You made it through though.
Wheezy, that's funny, but damn, I'm glad you made it.
Now that legit sounds like some sort of weird nightmare.
Oh man, poor guy. That's his introduction to that's his student body's introduction to him. Oh, that's the guy that can't talk.
Losing your voice is such a strange feeling, too.
Kyle Renata says, and that's why they call him Wheezy.
Yeah, man.
Zabo says, I need Drew Down to lose his voice.
Oh, come on. Come on.
The great thing is, if Drew Down lost his voice, you'd still be able to hear him.
He would sound normal.
He'd sound crystal clear. sound like a regular, like us. So if you hear me do that a lot, it's because I might be struggling a little bit more than I realized. Let's hold off on the Knicks and Pacers a little bit because we could talk about Game 3 and, you know, obviously Game 4 tonight. Let's talk about the Kings for a while. Okay. By the way, Trista Crick coming up at 2 o'clock. Jason Jones, final hour of the show as well. Phone lines are open for you if you want to get in and have some fun. 916-909-1320. As the season winds down and there are fewer and fewer teams at play, beat reporters are working harder, NBA reporters are working harder, and you're starting to see more and more stories about who's going to be available, who's interested in who. Some of it is just dot connecting. Some of it is just speculation. Some of it might be real. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's just talk. And that's all we're doing is we're talking. And a name popped up over the weekend that we have talked about quite a bit on this show, namely because we're trying to help out Jesse's Boston Celtics, who appear to be in some sort of financial peril.
Yeah.
Franchise could fold.
Could fold. That's what I've heard. Those are the reports coming from the Boston Globe. Drew Holiday linked to the Sacramento Kings. Mm. Nothing more than the Kings are expected to have interest in Drew Holiday, which shouldn't be a surprise to anyone paying attention. Mm. But it's something that does make sense for both teams. It's a player at a position that makes sense for Sacramento. It's relief that the Boston Celtics need financially. It could be a thing that works out for everybody. So, again, there's a lot of dot connecting here. There's a lot of speculation here. But it is a name that we're talking about outside of Sacramento that now is being linked to the Kings.
So I saw this on Saturday or whatever it was about the Kings potentially having interest in Drew Holiday. And I had tweeted out, I said, for where the Kings are right now, Drew Holiday or a player like Drew Holiday is actually a great, realistic option for a pickup or what they may try to do. And people, it wasn't everybody. It wasn't like, it went crazy. But some people were like, what? That's crazy. Like, Drew Holiday's 34. He's going to be, he makes this amount of money. And that's not going to get you a championship. What are we doing this for? All this other stuff. I said, look, the Kings, as much as some people.
We talking about championship?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
As much as people want them to. And remind me, if we ever get to bump it or dump it today, I got something very interesting for the Tank crowd. Very, very interesting for the Tank crowd. But
we ain't missing bump it.
The whole mindset of just blow everything up, get rid, that's not happening, guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, that's not happening.
I thought we've accepted that already. Like, yeah. What are we doing?
That's not happening. They're not blowing everything up. I don't want to say there's a mandate. But I do think that Vivek and ownership probably wants to try to make the playoffs next year, wants to be in the playoffs next year. That would be my thought process. And especially if you're not in a position where you're just going to sell everything and start all over and tear it down. Yeah, try to get to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And Drew Holiday can help with that. He is a point guard, is an organizer that this team needs. Even at his age, I still think he is one of the better perimeter defenders in the game today. He's a guy that can balance out that lineup and balance out that backcourt where if you don't think Zach LaVine is any good as a defender, you can put Drew Holiday out there and he can help with guarding different guards. And his size allows him to guard both point guards and shooting guards in some respects. I think he'd be a great pickup for the Kings, especially for where they're at. They can't tank. They can't tear it all down. Because of that, you want to win games. I hate to break the news, and we've talked about it a number of different times, but with that roster, yeah, you probably want to win games. You probably want to try and see if you can get into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I think Drew Holiday will help with that.
Is there?
Drew, what would you be looking for from Drew on this team? Like just his defense and just move the ball around or?
Yeah, defense, steadiness.
Because he had a career low in points. I mean, going back to his rookie year, he shot like this year, like he, I love Drew Holiday this year. Like he showed, I think, some age.
He's definitely on the end of his career. I don't think it's over though.
Yeah.
I think he can still be productive. And like you said, you're looking for a guy that might average 13 a night. Leadership, play defense, almost like a little bit younger version of what you would hope to get out of Chris Paul. He's not a young Chris Paul because that guy was fantastic and he was a maestro. He's not that.
Mm-hmm.
But if we went and got Chris Paul right now, like you'd be getting like at the end Chris Paul. This is a little bit before the end Chris Paul's, which you might be getting with Drew Holiday or a poor man's version of that.
I just wonder how much of a dip, if he does take any more, he's like gonna have, because like I said, he's just not as quick. He's still good defensively, but he just looked a step slower.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if like maybe next year that'll help, like they'll help the Kings, but I don't know if that's something you want to deal with 2 years from now. And I just don't know how much he fits. Like he's like the position, yes, but he just, I don't know, Drew just looked a little less like Drew Holiday this year is what I'm saying, I guess. Just didn't shoot the ball well, wasn't great offensively. Still really good defensively and all that, but did take a step back, I will say.
Can I be honest about Drew Holiday a little bit? Just a little bit?
No, I'll lie.
I think he's great.
Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible.
No, Drew is, I do think he's a really good ball player. I've always thought he's a little overrated. Like that contract, when they signed it, everybody's like, this is great. This is what you got to do. You got to have Drew Holiday here. That's a lot of money for Drew Holiday. And now we're seeing it.
Yeah.
But you want that now?
Yeah, but if you...
You want that now, though?
It's 3 years
But
left,
if you had gotten... Is it three?
I think it's three, yeah. It'd be next season and then two more after that, I believe. I'm going to double check, though.
But if you had gotten a second title this year, wouldn't that have made it... Like, now it feels like you signed the deal, you got one. When I think the thought was, you're signing that deal, you're probably getting a couple. Now you feel like, okay, we couldn't get the second one. Oh, the third one is in serious doubt already. Now you're in year four with Jrue Holiday. Jason Tatum is returning from an Achilles injury. I don't know, man.
I don't know how much Brad Stevens had in mind that Jrue Holiday would finish out this contract with the Celtics, too.
Oh, I'm sure he... Yeah, I'm sure he
But did. After this season, yeah, he's got three more years, and the last year is a $37 million player option. He'll be 38 after that. He'll be 37 the year of the player option.